So, I have stuff planned for you tonight because you are a busy boy who is clearly brain dead.
I am. I'm a crispy critter.
And so,
I had a long week. I've already had a long weekend. It's been good. It's been fun. But I'm ready for a little break. Had a little time off today.
Nice.
I didn't really do much of anything.
It's your recovery day. I want to get into this.
It was
show.
Gross out. It was warm.
Yeah,
it
was running.
Too warm. We bought some plants and then.
Good day for it.
And then it started raining.
And you didn't plant them, right?
No. It would have been a great day for it. All right, so this is some concoction you've made with my beloved Harpoon cider.
It is.
There's ice in it.
Yeah,
I don't know where this is going. I have no idea where this is going.
It's me taking a stab, and I'm not sure it worked, to be completely honest.
I'm there.
And it's not even supposed to be on ice or in that kind of glass. It's supposed to be in a champagne glass.
All right.
But
all right, here we go. Down the hatch.
Salud.
Dink. It's not bad.
It's not great, but I feel like it's close to not being terrible.
It's very drinkable, I think.
It's supposed to be a bourbon cider. Well, it is a bourbon cider.
It is a bourbon cider.
But it's supposed to be a dry cider.
And this is a dry cider.
No, like a dry cider. If you had like an artisanal dry cider.
This is a pretty dry cider.
But does it say dry cider on the bottle?
No.
No. Like if you've had a dry cider, it's a completely different type of apple. I was reading about it in your Drunken Botanist book that you got me. So I know all sorts of shit.
Ooh.
Bitch, don't be stepping. I know shit you don't.
You're loaded for bear tonight.
I am. So it's supposed to be dry cider.
Okay. This is a fairly dry cider compared to most ciders I've tried.
I'll give
which
you that.
Usually is like a sip and then it tries to kill me and then I have to stop drinking it.
Well, really the not killing you is the most important part.
It is. Yet I keep going back for more. Maybe this one won't kill me. No, it's trying to kill me.
Yep.
No, no good. So yeah, for those of you not keeping track, I have what is apparently a sulfite allergy. Which is debatable. Some people is like, no, there's no such thing as sulfite. Well, you know what? Anything that has sulfites has so far tried to kill me. Almost every cider out there has sulfites.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Except for this one, apparently, which is Harpoon. I don't think it says organic, but all the other ciders actually say somewhere on the label contains sulfites. This one does not.
Which isn't necessarily a guarantee, but...
Yeah, it's not a guarantee. It's absolutely not a guarantee.
Very dangerous self-experimentation, you've confirmed.
It's not the brightest thing.
But it's for science, Mike, and that's what I respect.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is supposed to be Maker's Mark bourbon, which is sweet. That's a sweeter bourbon.
Okay.
I substituted Basil Hayden's, which is not a sweet bourbon.
Okay, so you're trying to strike the balance.
And
there.
You're also supposed to add sugar to this, and I didn't do that.
Yeah, I don't think that would be
necessary.
Because
I knew you wouldn't like it. So I tried to strike the balance of let's reduce the sugar overall, let's try to get the taste factor there. I don't think it quite hits. If you're enjoying then...
I'm good. I'm down with it.
Good.
It's nice. It's not like... It's not a huge flavor. It's kind of a mild flavor, but it's still refreshing.
It's yes. Yeah. And that's actually
and
what
it's
I'm
nice.
And oh, and bitters. It's got bitters in it.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm good with this.
Cool. So I want to try something, Smike. I want to play a game.
Oh, God.
You've had a rough time of it. And I'm a sadistic bastard. So I feel like the easiest thing for you tonight is to make you face one of your greatest fears.
What
is the scene?
Am I gonna have to...
What is the scene in Resident Evil that you most hate? What is there a movie of in the title in which something happens in the first scene that you are terrified of?
What?
What scene in Resident Evil do you hate the most?
What scene in Resident Evil do I hate the most?
Involves lasers.
Involves lasers?
A grid of lasers.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah.
I was like thinking back to the game and like...
No.
I hate the whole thing, Mike, honestly.
I hate the controls.
The scene when I'm trying to make her go in a single direction and then turn.
Well, it's like driving
I hate
a tank.
That scene.
It's the same thing as driving a tank. So what scene in the movie freaks you out the most?
Yeah, it's the... What's the... There's a term for it.
There's also a series of... small horror movies that have that in the title.
Yeah. It's...
Smike.
No, what's the term? I know it's like... It's on the tip of my tongue.
Tonight you're going to get cubed.
Oh, cubed! That's it. And Cube is another movie that does that.
In the very first scene.
In Cube?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first cube, the very first scene is the guy trying to get out. Like, the guy that doesn't, you don't know who he is because you never find out.
Yeah.
And he goes into the wrong room and sets off a trap.
Yeah.
And then he just falls into pieces. Not unlike Resident Evil. So tonight...
Are you going to cube me tonight?
You're getting cubed. Oh, God. I'm not going to cube you, Smike.
That makes me feel gross.
You're not getting cubed by me.
What? What the hell?
You're getting What's cubed by my on? Lovely wife, Erica.
Oh, my God.
So scooch over.
Why are you staring at me like I'm a ghost?
Because I just convinced him that we're going to cut him up into tiny cubes.
Okay.
That was perfect, by the way. That timing was awesome.
Oh.
I was just telling him he was getting cute, the door open. I'm like, yes.
Oh, now Erica's in here, and it's a party. And...
Before we begin, hi, we are buddies in space. You are?
S. Michael Smith. You are?
M. Michael Carassi.
And she is?
Erica. I can't do it with my name.
Erica Carassi. Yeah, you're right. It's hard.
Carassi.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say before we finally introduced the podcast?
I was just going to tell Smike that I've cubed lots of people. I'm an expert cubist.
She's basically Jigsaw.
Okay.
So Smike doesn't actually know what the cubing is at all.
So it won't be very painful.
I'm guessing it's some sort of personality test.
It's an ancient, mysterious personality all test. Right.
It is actually an ancient visualization game.
Oh, okay. So this is beyond INTJ/P.
This is not cutting you into cubes, and it's not DISC or Myers-Briggs. No.
No.
Yeah, I do have to...
Evaluate and assess based
no,
on...
No, that's not the word I was looking for. That's okay.
Cube. You have to cube.
I'm all nervous now. I apologize.
I'm nervous too. I've never been on the podcast. I only agreed so I could cube you.
Okay. I got her on the podcast. But
that's great.
Like, so Smike needs to have a break. What can we do that's going to make it fun and easy for him? Erica, why don't you do the cube on Smike, and then that way you can get on the podcast? And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, yes. But we can't make a big deal of the fact that she's here. Which I've
okay.
already done.
I'll just pretend she's not.
Well, you have to interact with us, Mike.
Yeah. But yeah, going back to getting cubed, it's not just the cubed thing. It's also the, like in...
Ghost ship,
exactly.
Just getting sliced.
Yeah, like everyone in the room gets sliced at various levels.
In Ghost Ship, remember...
And the whole idea of...
I never saw that.
Oh, okay.
The whole idea of, like, you're dead, you know you're dead, you know everybody's like, yet. Oh, this person's dead, and you're like, I just am waiting for myself to fall apart. Which is horrible. It's
sadly
horrifying.
I can't really promise that's gonna happen. Darn.
Sadly.
It gets used in a lot of horror films mm-hmm. and some anime I've seen.
There was a period in the 90s where it was like Resident Evil and Cube, I feel, came out very close to each other in terms of time. And I think Ghost Ship wasn't that far after. So I think there was a period of time where everyone in Hollywood was like, you know what's scary? Cutting someone up. Like, so fast that they can't fucking see it. And then they either fall into pieces or halves. Let's do that in every movie.
Which is, like, less horrible when it... I'm pretty sure that Bugs Bunny cartoons did this sort of in a more humorous way.
They're incredibly violent.
And The Cell. If you remember The Cell.
They did that in The Cell?
Not to a person, but to a horse. There was that bit where she's walking around and she sees this horse in the room. And then, like, these panels, like, all come down and slice up the horse and spread it apart. Mm. But the horse is still alive and, like, and breathe. Because it's in a dream.
Right.
So it's freaky, but it's not quite as horrible because the horse is still alive.
Did you see The Cell?
Maybe that's
no.
worse.
I haven't seen. I saw Resident Evil.
Cell was a pretty visual movie. Not a great movie, but very visual.
And 13
like
Ghosts.
We talked about the door before.
Okay.
You've seen that.
No, I missed all these.
13 Ghosts was not good. The door was
eventually.
The only good scene in the whole movie.
Nah.
The dooring. Cube!
Dooring.
So, clear your mind.
Okay.
Take another sip.
I also have to apologize because I've been sweating a lot lately.
It's hot in here. It's okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Whatever.
It's a thing I've been doing it more often, I think.
I'm sweating more than you already, so.
Yeah, I'm waterworks here. I'm trying to keep it down, though.
Okay.
Cannot compete with you guys in that area.
She doesn't have sweat glands.
Basically. Anyway.
You glow.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, it's Mike. Pardon me while I awkwardly interject in the middle of this podcast. Erica thought of this after the fact and recommended that I put it in here, and I thought it was a good idea. So, we're about to do Smike's cubing, and actually, you can do this as well. So, before you listen past the point where he answers questions. So he's going to answer some questions. What you should do is you should answer the questions for yourself. So visualize along with Smike, write down your answers, and if you submit them to the comment section on our website, buddiesinspace.com, then we'll have Erica review your cube as well. No promise on how long it'll take, but just so you know, it's a fun little game you can follow along with. But don't cheat. So if you listen to the answers and then do it, you already know too much. That's why I didn't do it, because I had already done it and I just knew too much already. All right, and back to the podcast.
I'm just going to ask you a series of questions. You have to tell me whatever first pops into your head. Even if it doesn't seem to make any sense, it's kind of like a Rorschach test. It's just whatever you think of first, tell me. And I'll prompt you with different questions and just tell me the answers. That's all you
need. All right.
It's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Imagine.
I'm imagining.
Okay. Imagine a desert.
A desert.
You sure that's not dessert?
It is not dessert. That's desert. That's right. It is a desert. What does your desert look like?
Well, there's a lone cactus. It's very dune-y, windswept. It's hot. There's a sun up overhead. It seems like kind of a generic desert to me.
Okay, that's
interesting.
Fine.
I'm seeing like some rocks. Very
right.
Sparse though, like one or two rocks, boulders, small boulders. I don't know.
Smolders,
yes. There are a few smolders scattered about.
Are they smoldering?
No, they're not.
I don't think you're supposed to interact with anything like this.
It's hot, but it's not that hot.
All right, that's good. That's a great answer. Okay.
Yes! Nailed it!
Now, in your desert...
All right.
All of the questions I'm asking you are going to be compiled, like... together, you know what I'm talking about? Like, everything's going to be together. Anyway, in this desert, there is a cube.
Oh, Jesus. I'm not going in. Absolutely not. Under no circumstances am I going inside that damn thing.
What does this cube look like to you? How big is it? What color is it?
My mind is flashing through so many things because we've been talking about the cube. That's in my head. I don't know.
First picture? Besides body parts and things.
I don't know. I'm trying to just let it come to my head, and I'm picturing something metal. I'm picturing just kind of a metal cube it's not painted, you know, it's like made of sheet metal, but you know, put together in kind of a weird sculpture-y way.
Okay. About how big is it?
I don't know. It's about it's something that it's not bigger than me.
So it's like maybe 3 square feet or so, or I don't know.
Maybe 2 to 3 square feet.
Okay, that's fine. So it's metal, so it's like a metal color. There's no color really other than the metal, or
yeah, there's no color, and it's not solid metal. It's like it's got it's like kind of like a patchwork of different kinds of metal, and some of it's like a mesh sort of grid, okay. And some of its parts of it are solid.
Okay.
The all the lines of it are solid. Obviously.
I'm just gonna nod. Like,
is it hollow or solid inside of the cube?
It's hollow inside.
Okay. How far is it from where you are? Let's say you're there.
All right, I'm right there. I can reach out and touch it.
What's in the cube? What's in the cube?
Is that a question? Am I supposed to answer that now?
Ignore anything I said.
That is
okay.
Not a question. Just ignore him. Where is it in space?
It's like kind of on a pedestal. But it's not a very tall pedestal.
Okay.
It puts it like just at about the height of my chest, I guess.
Okay.
Also, it's on an angle, so it's on its point.
Okay.
So it's not flat. It's yeah.
Okay.
I think I had that too.
It's like you could spin it if you.
Okay, that's cool.
Although I don't think it's spinnable. I think it's fixed there.
Okay. All right. This is good. Okay.
I'm glad. I'm glad that's good.
That was the hardest question. These are a little easier.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Now, also, along with this cube, there is a ladder. What is your ladder made out of?
It's wood.
Okay.
It's not something I'd want to stand on.
It's rickety?
It just looks old. It's the wood is weathered.
Okay.
It's unpainted.
Patinaed?
No. The cube might be patinaed.
Okay, as long as something patinaed.
Okay.
There.
The metal on the cube might be patinaed.
Where is your ladder in relation to the cube?
It's maybe like 20 feet away. Okay. Oh, did I screw that one up? Oh, man.
No. This is good. I like this. Okay. I've been cubing people since high school, so okay. I know all the stuff.
So yeah, the ladder is like, it's like 20 feet away. It's just lying there on the sand.
It's completely useless. Okay.
No, it's just lying flat.
Lying flat. Okay.
This thing has a giant penis, right? That's what this means.
Exactly. Yes. That's why I'm so happy.
What?
Have another drink, Mike.
About how many rungs does it have? You don't have to count them specifically.
Oh,
but
my God.
Several, many, a few.
It's got, like, at least a dozen, I think.
Okay, well, that's it for the ladder.
Oh, man.
In this desert, with your cube and your ladder.
So I was running out of things to say about the ladder, honestly.
This is ancient. They know exactly when to move on.
There is also a horse.
A horse?
Why wouldn't there be?
There's a horse.
Okay.
What kind of horse is it?
It's a horse with no name. That was the first thing that came to my head. So there.
That's fine.
It's kind of I think it's kind of a dark color. It looks a little bit old. It's not probably the healthiest horse in the world.
Okay.
It would probably not like to be here in the desert.
Okay.
And it would really like to have a name. But no, fuck you, horse. No name for you.
Okay. What's it doing?
It's not doing anything. It's standing there.
Okay.
There's no water for it. There's no, you know, there's no bucket of oats for it. It's just kind of the bridle is just kind of drooping there off its neck, and it's.
Does it have a saddle?
Sure. I mean, it's got a bridle, so I guess it might as well have a saddle.
Okay. Let's see. Where is it in relation to everything else?
It's probably closer to the ladder.
Okay.
I think I might have thought maybe I could, you know, tie it to the ladder.
Okay.
But then I was like, oh, what if it spooks and it's going to be running around with a big ladder attached to it and that's just going to be a mess. So I thought better of that.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good idea. Let's see. I think that's about it for that horse.
Yeah. Not a happy horse.
Okay. Sad horse.
Sad horse.
All right. Now, somewhere along with all the other stuff in the desert, there is a storm.
Okay.
What kind of storm is it?
It's off in the distance. It's lightning and dark clouds.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be rain, but it's not here. It's far off in the distance.
Okay. And
it's probably going to be coming here.
Okay. Does it affect anything in your picture, in your vision?
Does it affect anything? Not really. I feel like it's starting to get a little bit darker.
Okay.
I feel like we're heading towards night, maybe.
Okay.
But yeah, things are getting a little bit darker. But if this matters, I feel like it's going to be a good thing because if it actually rains, that would be great.
Okay.
So I'm more like, yeah, it's dark and kind of menacing, but it still it looks kind of cool, and I think it's going to bring some rain, and the horse is going to be happier, and I'm going to be happier.
Okay.
Cube and ladder probably don't give a fuck.
Finally, this is the last question.
Oh my gosh.
In this desert, there are flowers.
Okay.
What do these flowers look like?
Okay. First thing that came to my mind was daisies, I guess. I think they're daisies. They're the stupid flowers that come up earlier in the spring, and then they bloom, and then they're like, they're just kind of gone, and then they're just like a bunch of stupid leaves sticking out for the rest of the summer. They're annoying flowers.
Like daffodils?
Maybe. I don't know.
Like those yellow ones?
Yeah. Yeah, they're mostly yellow. Yeah, maybe it's daffodils.
I think those are daffodils.
Okay. I don't know my flowers all that well.
I think more of you because of that.
I know some flowers pretty well.
I think slightly less of you.
Yeah, I know. I'm being honest here. I'm being brutally honest.
Good. Where are they in relation to everything else?
They're just like randomly poking out of the sand, which seems weird to me. Like where did these come from?
Are there a lot of them or a few?
There's a few, but they're okay. Now for some reason they're just sort of popping up, but they're like as far as I can see. They're not a lot. They're not dense, but they're just all over the place.
Okay.
If that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah.
Any sense. So
stop worrying about making sense. Care?
Who the hell cares?
Okay. They're
there are a lot of them, but they are not
sparse,
densely.
But they're,
yes.
Yeah.
You're not in a field of flowers. You're in a desert with some flowers on it.
Yes.
But they're widespread.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. I think that's it. Yeah. So now I have to go analyze you. I'm going to go away to analyze you.
You go analyze
it's
you.
It's going to take a while. It's okay. This entire book I have to go through. So.
Okay. Just flip. Can you flip through the book again like that? All right. There we go.
All right. Don't drop my book.
Sorry.
Anyway, I'll be back later. Have a fun
time. Thank you, baby.
Time.
We'll miss you.
It's Mike. Talk amongst yourself. You. I'm going to go get a beer because I finished that drinker.
Mike's alone on the podcast.
What? I'm still here?
Drag.
We're going to edit all of this out.
Sure.
Hey, your cat's in here. Hi, cat. All right. Willow the cat, would you like to come in and do a podcast? Because your masters have abandoned me. Well, no, and now the cat's gone too. Well, screw you all. I would plug my show now, but I'm going to wait till Mike gets back to do that. Because I'm afraid he actually is going to edit this out. Oh, there he is again. That was fast.
Is the cat still in here?
No, no. The cat bailed on me, too.
I came back, though. If you podcast with something, set it free. If it comes back, it's meant to be podcasted. So plug your show.
All right. So the reason my brain's been all on the fritz is because I've been working on... I've been in the show. I am in the show. It's called The Language Archive, and depending on when you get this, is this going to be out before this week, the next weekend?
Actually, yeah, it's going on Friday.
Okay, so if you're listening to this right after it was released, you have a very small window of opportunity to come and see me.
Three shows.
Yes, we have a show on...
Tonight?
You
can watch it tonight.
Oh.
When what? This airs?
Yes, this is Friday.
This
yes.
is Friday.
You can watch it tonight at 7:30. You can also watch it... On
tomorrow,
so tomorrow, Saturday, the whatever June
third?
Something, third or yeah,
wait, is it
third or fourth? I don't
oh,
know.
The second's Thursday, right? So, it's,
yeah,
tomorrow's so the fourth.
Yesterday, we had one, but you missed that,
right? So, way to go, jackass. Tonight at 7:30,
yes,
and then also tomorrow
at 7:30 and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
two,
so you got two shots on Saturday. It's a weird play. I think it's a very good play. It's a great cast. I mean, aside from me, everybody is brilliant.
Oh, my God. I'll be the judge of that. I'll tell
yes,
you if you
will.
Suck.
I've already judged myself. no, we had our opening night. Opening night went fantastic. I
great.
Thought I was a little weaker the following night, but I'm very self-critical, so.
Mm.
And you know that.
Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes that happens. The energy, all the rehearsal, you put it into that first show.
Yeah, and
then
this
it goes
was,
okay.
I do want to say this. It's a comedy, but there's a lot of other emotions in the show. There's a lot of sad parts in it, but it's mostly a comedy. And it's weird for me because I'm a comedy guy. I've like always done comedies. I can't remember
Elizabeth Rex.
Okay, that was more of a character part.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm either doing like weird characters or comedy. I think that's a pretty safe statement to make.
Okay.
I'm not used to being like doing genuine sad sort of acting, I guess.
Okay.
It's weird for me. And there are some moments where I'm on stage and I'm having a bad time and I'm, you know, genuinely being a sad person.
Mm.
And it's a new experience for me. And on opening night, I really apparently connected with some people in the audience because I'm giving this sad monologue. Mm. And I look out and like some people are like starting to tear up. And I'm like, oh my God. And it hit me. And I was like, oh, this is going off the rails, man. And I was like, I'm kind of supposed to be, you know, like just holding it together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I like really was trying to hold it together. And it was a little scary. It was a little overwhelming, but it was a great experience.
It's the ultimate audience feedback loop.
Yeah. So I decided I'm probably not going to look directly at people for the next shows. At least not on those scenes.
I'm going to show up Saturday afternoon with like a tissue and be like, so listen for that.
So yeah, it was a very weird experience for me, but I loved it. It was great, and I'm looking forward to doing it another four times.
Nice, that's good because you're doing it another four times.
Yes. And it's a great cast.
Nice, so an awesome cast.
An awesome cast.
Interesting show.
A great director. A great show by a writer. I can't remember what else she's done. I think she did something called Almost Maine, but I'm not sure if that was her. Julia Cho, I think. Anyway, it's a good show. Go see it. I'm in it. Looking forward to it, but I'll be glad when it's over because then I'll have my brain back.
Right. So you had said not that long ago that like every couple of years you get the itch to do a play.
I get it more often than that, but I don't scratch it for a while.
So that was my next question, is how long do you think until you do your next play?
It's going to be at least a year.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just, it's rough on... Yeah, my wife doesn't like it because, you know, we like spending time together and it's, you know, we're going for weeks on end where I'm just like, I see her for like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I stop home after work, I get something to eat, and then I go.
It makes perfect sense when you're in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, in a married adult situation, it's not.
Yeah, and some of the people who do this who like have families and kids, it just blows my mind that they could do this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I don't get that. But I walked away from it because I had a kid, so.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not the person to talk to.
I totally respect that.
I just can't imagine even doing it. Early on, it's probably more doable, believe it or not. Like, after the first couple months,
mm-hmm.
you kind of get into a groove, and it's like, there's not really a lot going on. But, like, now, if I stuck my poor wife with, like, a tornado of a two-year-old for a month straight and barely did anything, oh, man, that would... I was sleeping in the doghouse, and we don't have a dog.
Oof. So, what else has gone on? Before the last podcast, we were about to head out and see...
Civil War!
Avengers Civil War. We saw it. We liked it.
I liked it a lot.
I'm sorry Erica didn't see it. I think she would have probably liked it.
I think so, too. But someone had to watch Simon.
Yeah. And it was a very enjoyable movie. There wasn't, like, a tremendous amount of depth to it.
So...
But it was very entertaining. The characters were well done. Nothing was like glaringly, this is really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when you get to comic book movies, I think that's a pretty big plus.
So there's about a 30 comment thread on my Facebook about this.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because I posted a review. I've been hearing a lot of bad stuff about the new X-Men movie.
Yeah, and honestly, even when I first saw the trailers, I'm like, this looks...
Yeah. So
I wanted to be excited for it, but
I did too. I really wanted.
Never got to that point where like, oh, this is going to come out, and I'm going to be so excited to see it. I just eh.
So I haven't seen X-Men yet, right?
Right.
And if you go back to my childhood, X-Men was my comic. I loved the cartoon. I loved the comic. I had the toys. Like that was the thing I was into, right?
Yes.
So Days of Future Past is probably my favorite storyline of all time, and even the cartoon. I don't know if you watched the cartoon much. But the cartoon did it really well because they did it, and then they did it again, but inserted Bishop or Cable. I think it was Cable. So they did the exact same episode, but slightly different with a new character who came back and said, no, this is what happened wrong last time. I'm going to fix it this time.
Hmm.
And it was like when you're a kid, like that kind of level of meta storytelling.
Yeah, yeah. There's like, a lot of care that went into that.
Fucking shit. Yeah, like, it was brilliant. So I thought that Days of Future Past was really great, and the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really enjoyed the shit out of it. And I've been thinking about this. When I heard that Apocalypse was next, I got excited. And then I saw the trailer, and it's all this CG, and the world's ending five times over. And I thought, I don't want this. They just rebooted the franchise. I don't know. I literally don't know what the characters are anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they've all been rebooted. So I don't know. Like,
I don't either, honestly. I don't know. I know that Magneto's going to be in it, and Quicksilver's going to be in it.
No, I mean, I don't know, like, we know the characters from the previous timeline.
Yes.
So there's all this shit happened in the 70s, that means that whole lives of some of the main characters in the movie would theoretically be, like, Butterfly Effect, very different.
Yes.
So they could have, so I wanted another X-Men 2.
Right.
I needed a slow burn.
You wanted an Avengers-style X-Men.
I wanted X-Men
where they're taking characters and they're, like, they're developing them through their own movies and then... You know, because we know what Captain America is about. We know his character. We know Tony Stark.
I want to get into these guys. Because that's the whole thing that happened on Facebook. But my point is...
Yeah, the X-Men movies are not even nowhere near that.
But they've always... Well, the first two did a decent job of saying, hey, let's develop these characters individually and then throw them together as a team really quick.
Yeah, but the first two are gone.
Exactly.
It's
retconned out of existence. It never happened. Because...
Well, that too, but more the point is that it's been rebooted. Whatever happened in that was gone. We've got different directors, different, completely different characters now.
Well, no, we have the same director back. The first X-Men 1 and 2 is Singer.
Okay.
And then he left, and then Ratface McGee destroyed it with X-Men 3, which is one of the worst movies ever.
Okay, right.
And then the Wolverine movie. And then First Class came back, and Bryan Singer was like, what the fuck did you do? And I don't even know if he might not have done First Class, but he definitely did Days of Future Past. My point is, I don't want world-ending reboot followed by world-ending event movie. I need a breath. And I need to catch up with all my favorite characters and figure out where they are again. Because they have different backstories now.
Yes.
Right? I mean, conceivably. But instead, we get a movie where it's just like, there's no way we could take the time to be like, hey, here are how all the characters have changed. We're just going to go right into Apocalypse, literally end the guy.
Yeah.
And it just seemed wrong to do that. And I'm not surprised that it's not doing well. But I put this thing on Facebook where I posted and I said, I haven't seen the movie, but I've been saying this on this podcast for a little while now. I think we're passing that point where we're going to start seeing a backlash against superhero movies. And I think it is happening, and I think I'm right. Batman versus Superman was overstuffed, overblown, too much CG, not enough story, or too much story in that sense.
Well, we're seeing a backlash against not Marvel movies.
Avengers 2 did not do well.
Yeah.
Ant-Man was questionable how well it did. But
Ant-Man, for what it was, I think was fine.
I enjoyed it. I just mean critically. But here's the thing.
But even on Ant-Man, I think the consensus was... For a Marvel movie, it was all right.
For a superhero movie,
it was still above the bar.
Yeah, no, I agree. But
And that's what's still going on. Our expectations have been raised. The Marvel has really set the new standard.
But I think that Marvel used up all of that goodwill on Civil War. This is my theory. I think Infinity Gauntlet, the more I think about it, the more worried I am. And maybe it's just
me. No, we've talked about this. Because Infinity Gauntlet, I mean, not to give any spoilers for a movie I don't know anything about, other than the book it's based on.
Yeah.
shit just goes terribly, terribly wrong. It's just a disaster for everyone.
And then it's not.
Yeah.
Because it's a cosmic Marvel story.
And if they do that, I mean, if they make a movie that is like the comic book, it's going to suck.
It's going to suck. So here's my point. Batman vs. Superman obviously made $800 million worldwide, so it was a financial success, and we'll see, you know, many franchises born out of it, but wasn't a good movie from what I've read. And then Apocalypse.
Here we are, you know, critiquing movies. We're talking about like five different movies that we've seen. One or two of them.
Yeah, I know. You know what? We're geeks. We have three licenses to do this.
Sure.
So and then Apocalypse comes out, and the reviews are a little more split on it. And I'm still going to see it because I've seen every other one that they've made. But you know, there's this sense that it's just too much, and it's too much spectacle, and there's not enough story, and yada yada yada.
I think I've seen the next Men movie in the theater since like the second one.
I saw First Class in the theater and I loved it. Or not First Class. Actually, I might have seen First Class, but I saw Days of Future Past in theater and really loved it.
I just couldn't get excited. Like, I'll be, if it's on, or somebody's running it, I'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll see it.
It's like being a Bills fan. You can love it all you want. It's still going to bite you in the ass and leave you naked in the snow. I mean, this is why I stopped watching football, because I really want to like the Bills. And then it's like, every year, guys, every year. Mm. And that's the extent of the sports on this podcast ever. But Marvel spent 10 years building these franchises,
yes,
right? And I absolutely respect what they did. And I've said it before, DC needs to learn from that. And it's a little late.
To go back to the thing about Infinity Gauntlet, Civil War was better than I thought it was going to be. I thought Civil War was just going to be a mess. Yeah. But it really wasn't. It was solid. They took the idea. They gave it a really good treatment. They diverged considerably from how it went down in the comics.
They'd have to.
And they have to. So, having said all that, I think I do have to be, you know, at least guardedly optimistic that they're gonna do right by Infinity Gauntlet and not stick to the original story so much.
That's not why I think it's gonna be bad.
Huh?
So I want to be wrong here.
They're splitting up into two parts. So.
I know, I'm aware of that. But what I mean by...
Of course you are. Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, why wouldn't I know that? You're saying it for the audience. I get it.
Yes.
So, Civil War was a big risk because it isn't really... It's really the next Avengers movie. I mean, plus. It's like Avengers 3 plus, ultimately, right? Because it got all those... I mean, most of those characters in it. Plus
yes.
Plus others.
So, and it's... It does not suffer for not having more characters, certainly.
Well, that's part of my point.
Packing more characters into it, packing a Thor or a Hulk or whoever else.
They just did like,
no,
too
no,
much.
Just stop, stop.
Yeah. Or Thor brings too much pathos and Hulk brings too much id. It's you don't need those things in those movies.
No.
Where I'm going to is Marvel spent all this time with these franchises. So we know Tony Stark. We know him inside and out.
Yes.
We know, for the most part, Thor. I'm still not huge about that character.
Yeah.
We know Ant-Man, even. I mean, we know all these characters, right?
Yes.
So then Civil War comes around, and there is precious little character development. And I would normally be really pissed off about that, but it totally was fine.
They cashed in.
That's my point. They cashed in all of the franchise character building they've done. They are as far as I'm concerned, their bank accounts are empty. So when I hear that there's 68 superheroes in the Infinity Gauntlet movies, I think to myself, and they've said this because they were asked, well, how are you going to give them all screen time and develop their characters? And they said, we're not really going to do that. Same directors as Civil War, so obviously they can handle a big team flick.
Yeah.
But my fear is we're seeing it with Apocalypse. We saw it with Batman vs. Superman. And I think Marvel's going to finally stumble. I think they've run out of that...
I know.
That backlog, that, you know, that banked character development that they can cash in, I think they're going to go too far with Infinity Gauntlet. That's my theory.
Where do they go after that? Do they even care?
They reboot everything. They do Age of Apocalypse and then do just sidestep all of their storylines into something else for a while.
All right. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about another movie.
We saw Whiplash.
Oh, okay. The drumming?
Yeah.
Drum one?
We watched it last night.
I'd like to see it, so don't spoily.
I won't. I would recommend it. It is extremely well acted. I absolutely think J.K. Simmons deserved the Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
The editing is amazing. I mean, that's the other thing is I read a lot of reviews today, so I really wanted to learn more about it. And it's mm-hmm. two things. It's like J.K. Simmons and the editing. Those are the two things.
Okay.
Because it's like the editing feels like a percussionist. It's hard to explain. Miles Tanner, Miles whatever, the kid. It's great. I've liked that actor ever since I saw him in The Spectacular Now. He's a really great actor. The weird thing about the movie, and Eric and I were talking about this afterwards because we both agreed on this, it's exhaustingly, like, suspenseful at times. Like, it's awesome.
Ah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, the ending, like, left us breathless. It was phenomenal. But
it's draining. It's like, you feel like...
In a good way. I'm not... that's not a critique. It's like...
It, like, keeps you tense the entire time?
No, not the entire time.
Oh, okay.
Definitely not the entire time. There are moments of tension.
Because I was thinking back to, like Hurt Locker, which was like just nonstop.
No, it didn't have that oppressive nature to it. No, because you're rooting for characters and, you know, and J.K. Simmons is not a likable person in the movie, but you still, I mean, you know, you get where he's coming from, and I thought it was very well done. What Eric and I thought was weird is that there doesn't seem to be a point to the movie.
Oh.
Narratively. Very odd. And I thought it was a very brave thing to do.
You mean as far as like a theme or...
Yeah, or it's all theme, and, like, the plot doesn't... It's really hard to explain. I guess watch it, and we'll talk.
So the stakes are weird in it?
The stakes are definitely weird.
Okay.
And the ending is really exhilarating, and then afterwards you're like, what were they saying? Like, what was the point of this movie, other than just being really, really interesting to watch? Like, what the fuck was I watching?
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. Right. I'm trying not to give anything away, obviously.
Okay.
So. But it did make me, Erica looked at me, she's like, are you like thinking back to being a drummer? I'm like, yeah, I'm remembering. So like,
you were a drummer.
Oh, yeah, for a couple of years. Right. Yeah, like, you know, the feeling of drumsticks on the skin, you know, the banging out on a kit, that kind of stuff. It was fun, but this was all jazz, too.
Okay.
Like, hardcore jazz. I was like, I didn't know jazz was this badass. But they hold the stick weird, so they hold one stick up like, you know, you traditionally do. I mean, the other stick they hold like this, pointing down, like a chopstick.
I assume there's a reason for that.
It's just jazz drumming. So the way they were drumming, I was staring at them like, I've never seen that before. But they were like fucking crazy fast. And like the kid was a drummer since he was 15 in real life. And then he got coached, the actor. I call him a kid. He's 27. and then someone else in the movie was his tutor, who is an actual performer in real life, like a drummer. So, yeah, very convincingly done. Probably one of the better... musician movies.
All right. So tonight, as I was forgetting that we were supposed to have a podcast tonight, I actually watched The Witch.
Hmm.
It's a very interesting movie.
Was it deserving of all the buzz it's been getting?
I think so. I think it's like super atmospheric.
Okay.
My main problem with it was that the audio was kind of a mixed bag. Like...
Really?
There's like whispering and like really in the distance sort of whispering.
Were you meant to understand it?
I'm not sure, but we turned it up so we could hear. had to turn it way up. Wow. And then they were like loud
jump scares.
Things. There were a few jump scares, but it was just oozing this creepy, weird, scary atmosphere.
Like Blair Witch did when everyone saw it for the first time?
This is on another level.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd watch this again. I don't ever need to watch Blair Witch again.
It does not hold up. I've tried it. I was like, wow, why did I ever even get involved in the creepy thing with this that everyone was on board with?
Yeah.
That was weird.
It's kids running around with a camcorder.
Yeah. Well, I remember Ben and I saw it in high school. And then we went to Walmart. Our ritual was always go see a movie and then go to Walmart
mm-hmm.
and walk around and just make fun of people. Because this is what we did. And we ran into this couple. They were like going to SUNY Oneonta. And it was so funny. Like the girlfriend was buying a watch. And the guy was buying it for the boyfriend was buying it for her. And we just saw them and struck up our conversation. Somehow we both knew that we had just seen Blair Witch. We might have recognized each other from the theater.
Oh,
so he's like, yeah, we just got a Blair Witch. And he's like, my girlfriend's so scared. I told her I'd buy her a watch. Like the weirdest, like to this day, I've always been like, that's the weirdest fucking thing. But it made sense because it was like, well, I'm gonna like, it's a digital watch. It's something like tangible and modern that you can wear on your wrist. It made perfect sense at the time. I think back, I'm like, what the? That was weird.
Yeah, I obviously I'm not going to give anything away on it because you probably want to see it. I'm sure Erica will want to see it.
Yeah,
it's that kind of, you know, super indie sort of film that Erica just goes nuts for.
Did you ever see The Visit?
Yeah,
you did see it.
Wait, The Visit,
the Shyamalan one. It wasn't bad.
The Visit.
I think it's The Visit.
The Village?
No, The Visit, where they stay with their grandparents.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That, you know, the big twist was it wasn't bad.
Yeah, we saw that.
You did see it?
Yes.
Okay. So was it not bad? Or is it just so not as bad as the other Shyamalan movies that everyone said it was not terrible?
Probably that.
Okay.
The latter.
Okay.
It wasn't a great film. It had some good moments. It had a lot of stupid in it, but... I don't think The Witch had any stupid in it.
Wow.
It was just so weird. But they were so dedicated to getting the feel of that time, you know, being colonists.
Right, and, colonial, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like one of the characters, I mean, everybody's speaking with an English accent, and one of the characters is like, I want to go back home to England now. And it really... It did just an amazing job of getting that atmosphere down.
Did they use the Toad the Wet Sprocket song, Walk on the Ocean?
No.
Ah, fucking missed opportunity, man.
No.
That is what that song is about.
No, there's nothing like that that would have taken you out of that world.
The credits.
No.
Was there a stinger?
I don't think so. I don't know why there would be. No, it was wrapped up pretty well at the end.
I did that thing in Whiplash where I'm trained now to consider it, and I'm like, I'm not even going to look. No, this movie's over. Whiplash would not have a stinger.
But yeah, I would recommend The Witch. Just hope you have a good sound system. I mean, I have a good sound system, and that was still really hard for me.
Well, it sounds like it's just the mixing is all over the fucking place.
Yeah,
there's not much you can do about that.
And maybe intentional. It may be when you're watching this in a theater, it's like the volume is just cranked way the hell up.
It is. And all holy shit, yeah.
All the like the few times there's like something incidental that goes, wah! And like everybody goes, whoa! Because, my God, that was loud.
That's, ultimately, I turn into an old man when it comes to movie theaters. And I'm like, turn this shit down.
I do too, but I am an old man, so.
Yeah, you are an old man. And your hearing's not amazing in one ear.
Yeah.
My hearing's fine. And I'm like, turn this shit down. I can't think.
Yeah.
I need to debunk shit in this movie. That's not really what I talk about.
All right. So what else is going on?
I bought Simon.
You already had Simon. Oh, okay.
Light up lightsaber. He has been wanting it for weeks.
Oh, he has?
Oh, yeah. So he loves Star Wars now. Every day we have to watch a scene from Star Wars.
Okay. Aren't you glad you introduced him to this?
I didn't. It was the Rochester Comic Con. It's where he met R2-D2 and all the Stormtroopers. I had literally nothing to do with this.
You didn't sort of guide him a little bit like...
Nope.
Oh, look, Simon, it's an interesting robotic character.
No, because he was terrified of robots. Out of nowhere. We don't know why. He was terrified of robots.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, well, clearly he's not ready for Star Wars, so I'm just not going to do it. I didn't want to be the guy who pushed on him and turned him away. So I have pictures, and I show you the pictures. And he met R2, mm-hmm. And then there was a whole platoon of cosplay Stormtroopers. And he fell in love with all of them, and then it was just Star Wars 24/7. It's the fucking Star Wars show. If you go upstairs on the way out, I'll show you. There's two Lego robots that were built, and it's C-3PO and R2-D2.
All right, so is he like sleeping with the lightsaber now?
We won't let him. It's Vader's lightsaber, by the way.
Oh, well.
But yeah, we have lightsaber battles with the, come on, sit in, sit down, our cubist.
Sorry, that took a really long time, and I didn't write.
No, it's perfect
timing.
I was
going to write everything down, but there's too much.
It's okay. So anyway, so Simon has a lightsaber.
Uh-huh. Loves, apparently.
He loves. The battery's going to die in another couple days the way he goes with it. He took it to the playground with him today. He makes us read Darth Vader and Son every night. He doesn't get the jokes. He doesn't understand the repurposing of lines as a father-son gag, because that's the whole book. And there's no narrative to it. It's just like a bunch of little vignette gags, like comics. But he makes us read it to him every night. And I try to explain the jokes. I'm like, why the fuck am I
doing
this?
I think he picks up that you like it.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. But for Father's Day, I like sold this to Erica. I was like, have you, what did I say? I said, hear me out, right?
Yeah.
And you were like, oh boy.
I said, what do you want to buy?
Yeah. I was like, damn it, she's on to me. I convinced her to get me the Star Wars loot crate.
Uh-huh.
And I sold it to her, I think very accurately, because it's some weird dichotomy of stuff for a Star Wars fan and stuff for a kid.
Uh-huh.
So it's very clearly aimed at, like, a parent with a kid, and they both like Star Wars.
Okay.
So there's, like, a mug, which I'm really excited to have, and a Raglan t-shirt that I'm really excited to have with BB-8 on it. Like, all the things I liked about the new movie are in it.
Okay.
And then there's a six-pack of golden books of all the first six movies. So I told her, if you get me this, we can finally stop reading Darth Vader and Son, and we can read narrative golden books of the movies instead. That's how badly we want to stop reading Darth Vader and Son to him.
It's really annoying to read.
It's really annoying to read. I'm sorry, go on.
Okay, so first of all, a lot of the stuff you did was very similar to what I did in high school, which is strange.
What a surprise, because you're the fucking same person. We said this today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Except for the cube. The cube was very different. But
his metal cube? Diddle, diddle, diddle.
All right, because I know where I got that metal cube. It's from the game I was playing.
Sure,
it is. No, it's from The Witness.
Okay.
Can I get a...
It's from your psyche.
All right, fine. Which that game has embedded itself into.
That's fair.
Anyway, the desert is supposed to equal your life.
Uh-huh.
So you don't really have a lot of...
a lot of a life. Yep, well, that's legit. Accurate. That is dead fucking on.
Well, you just don't have a lot of sources of shade or water, so it's... Actually, that's a sign of extreme self-reliance, according to this book. Not a sign of, like, a bad life or anything.
Okay.
You don't ask or expect for help. This is all just for fun. I mean, it doesn't have to be exactly like you.
Okay.
Cacti usually represent difficult people in your life.
This guy.
Dunes are suggestive of sensuality. You might have a satisfying love life.
Nice.
Well, we know.
Or pleasure with the senses.
It's all that pad playing.
Or you see the world as welcoming.
No.
I don't think it's
true. Nah. One of the others.
I think it means he's been in a play and his wife's been making him have sex with her a lot.
My desert was the exact same desert that he described.
In high school?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know how, but it's interesting.
Except I had mountains.
It seems like a pretty generic desert, so I don't know.
I think maybe that's why I did it, too. It was like the first thing I thought.
Ugh, you guys are so generic.
Yeah. Well, what was your desert?
I forgot to bring your paper down. It's lying on the coffee table.
She was
going to
bring mine down if we had time. But we really don't. It's okay.
All right.
Everyone needs to stop. As soon as they stop listening to this podcast, because it's Friday, June 3rd, when they're listening to this, they need to go buy tickets and see a show. So they have stuff to do.
Okay. The cube equals you. You are the cube.
Oh.
You're so metal.
And actually, the positioning of the cube is the most important thing for some reason.
Okay.
And you got a very odd one that no one has ever gotten before.
What?
That she's done.
That
no one else has ever. let's go with that.
Only people I've cubed. Most people.
No one ever has had this cube.
Well, no one ever put.
No one ever.
No one ever put themselves on a pedestal, Smite, is what she's trying to say.
That's a little odd. No one's ever done that. But
it wasn't a big cube. I mean, I had to get it up.
On a big pedestal. I gotcha.
A small pedestal. I said small pedestal.
He has nothing to compensate for with his pedestal.
So most people have theirs lying flat on the sand, which means that they're realists. And I did that too.
All right. I would have pegged myself for a realist, but apparently not.
The cube says otherwise.
I went with one that I thought was the best one, but yours was kind of in between because there were some on their edges. One was floating, and yours was clearly not floating, so I didn't give you that one.
Floating? That's weird.
Yeah, those are visionaries. You are not a visionary.
Mine might have been floating.
Now you say that.
Mine was whatever the coolest one was, clearly.
Anyway, you got the expatriate, which is really...
What?
Really weird, because usually only immigrants get that, but...
You're an immigrant from the South.
There's some legitness to this.
So this was the most closely resembling. Okay.
That's close.
Yeah. So it says either immigrants or emigrants or, you know, people that move around a lot. So which
I have.
Yeah. To describe you, it says, between, resourceful, adaptable, rootless, overlooked.
Yeah. definitely rootless.
Your mom made you a lot of spam sandwiches. You were clearly overlooked.
In your life, I don't know if this is true, but it says you could be two-sided or you could live on a border. I don't know. Whatever.
What is that?
Well, actor Smike and not actor Smike.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. You're two very different people.
Sure.
It says you are a hard and eager worker, you are determined, and you give multiple perspectives at your job.
I can see some truth to that.
Or not.
Maybe not. I can see both sides of that argument.
More like multiple hand jobs at his job. What?
Well, to tag on to that. First of all, I don't really ascribe to astrology.
Okay.
I don't think, because when you're born, you have these qualities or attributes. However, my astrological sign is Libra. Which is the scales. It's somebody who likes to weigh things and try to see both sides of things. And I feel like that accurately describes me. Now, I don't think it's because of when I was born. I think it's more likely than not that I always knew that, oh, I'm a Libra, and I kind of knew what that was. And so, like, I should...
You internalized it?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I kind of internalized... being a Libra to some extent. So I like to think that I do try to have that, you know, I try to be unbiased. I'm sure I'm not. But
well, in that latest email exchange with Colin, he's the Libra. You're the biased one. I thought that was interesting. Anyway, go on. I want to get to that, but
well, yeah, I do too.
This is gonna be a long podcast. Mm-hmm. In love, maybe this is past love, not current love. But it says, intensely dramatic, longing, attraction to the strange.
You do have that kill room.
No comment. No comment.
They bought a house with a kill room. I'm just saying.
And in play, you are creatively idle. That's what it says.
That's creatively idle?
Yeah.
That's really
I can think of a lot of good things to do, but I'm not going to do them.
Yep.
All right.
I'm going to sit here and think about being creative.
What is that? What did you do?
I kept your pages.
Okay, thank you. This, I'm just going to read this because I didn't feel like writing all of it. It says, someone whose life is balanced between two lands, two worlds, who can fully live in neither, whose identity is found not on some patch of solid ground, but precisely on the borderline. This person's psyche is dominated and defined by the dividing line between then and now, here and there, mother tongue and new language. Anyway.
All right.
That
well, I do a lot of compartmentalization. When I'm at work, I'm really quiet. I talk to a lot of people. I don't have problems talking with people, but I just don't feel the need to. But then I'll do the podcast, and I'll go on stage and be an actor and.
I've always known that there's two
I think that freaks people out when they find that out about me. If it's somebody who just knows me like from work.
Apparently you freaked her out.
It didn't freak me out, but I just think it's interesting and different than a lot of people.
A fat cube. Oh, a fart.
A fart cube.
Fat fart cube.
Usually big cubes mean big egos. His cube was giant, by the way.
yeah.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Of course it was.
You have a medium-sized cube.
All right.
You have realistic ambitions. Smaller cubes give more weight to the cube the world than the self. I wrote the wrong word down. the world, not the cube, than the self. It's up close to you, so you may lack perspective on yourself, but it also could mean that you're spontaneous, emotional, impulsive, quick-tempered, sociable, likes company.
No.
Nope.
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 Concrete, detail-oriented.
Yeah.
Reacts to the immediate, lives in the present, focuses on what's right here.
If you list enough of those things,
yeah.
You're going to
get something right, but the bulk of that list does not sound like Smike.
That was for a small cube, right?
No, this is how far away it is.
Oh, all right.
Close cube.
Close cube. A hard cube means you're firm, definite, set in your ways.
Yep.
But it's hollow. What? It's hollow, so it means you're open to entertaining interest in the outside world. And could you see into it?
Yeah.
You said it was mesh in places.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It wasn't completely solid on the on the side. So yeah.
So you have nothing to hide, or you're an exhibitionist.
No comment.
I don't think I have much to hide. Much. Maybe a few things, but not much.
Yeah, a smidge to hide.
There's a little more things here, but I just there wasn't a lot of other things. Oh wait, the metal.
Mike is air guitaring for those.
Every time anyone says metal, I air guitar. Yes. Where I do this. Describe this, Mike.
That is the horns and the tongue.
Okay. That's pretty good.
In love, you are slow to open up at work. It says can sell out to survive.
What? No.
This is metal cubes. At play, sensation seeking, reckless.
No.
Yeah.
That's what you get for using a cube from a game.
But most metal cubes.
That was what came to my head.
Different than your metal cube. Yours, you had an interesting one. Okay, so the ladder means friendships.
Mm-hmm. Old and weathered.
Yeah. Well, they say that's kind of good for a wooden ladder because people think of wooden ladders as old and weathered, and it's like comforting.
Okay.
It says, if your ladder is made of a very different material than your cube, the next question for you is, just how different? This shows not only the kind of people you like to have around you, but also how you perceive them in comparison with yourself. Are you the tougher, plainer, brighter one? No, apparently your friends are just old and crappy.
Hey!
Yeah, so wood means sentiment. It says that you're sentimental.
Aww. I remember when.
My ladder was also wood.
Did you do the horse?
No, the ladder comes before the horse.
Okay, I'm just
asking. Don't put the horse in front of the ladder.
A lying down ladder means you do not expect others to help you reach your goals. You're a do-it-yourselfer.
Yeah.
Or you don't have goals.
Yeah, yeah. I think both of those things.
Little column A, little column B.
Do I need any help? No.
What are you going
to
help me with?
Because I don't need help.
There's nothing to help me
with. Nothing to help.
The number of rungs on your ladder is usually the size of your inner circle.
Yeah, no. That was way off.
Yeah.
What? What a boring ladder, though, that has like two rungs on it. Or I guess three if we...
Count your wife?
Count my wife.
She probably should.
But I she's so close to me, I can't, yeah.
Speaking of your
wife. She's not just a ladder to me.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Your wife is not a ladder.
No, she's not a horse, goddammit. I am not married to a horse.
Your wife is a horse.
She is a lovely woman and not at all horse-like.
Well, we're big fans of your horse.
Everyone's
wife.
Spouse is their horse, according to this.
I'm her horse and she's my horse.
My horse was different than your horse. I had a white horse, which means that I was looking for Prince Charming or something.
And she ended up with this guy. What happened?
You're my Prince Charming.
I don't think my wife is especially sad. My wife in the show is sad.
I do have to read you something about that.
This is interesting, though, because in the show I'm in, my wife is very sad in that show.
That is interesting. So
I read the description of the play.
Okay.
It says, a hungry, thirsty horse in a parched desert is a warning signal. Your lover needs more affection.
That applies perfectly to the show I'm in.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with that answer.
It says, some see the storm as a source of water. So
I do.
You did, yeah.
And that's right after the other.
No, Smike, I think you're reading this wrong. I think Mel is starved for attention because you've been doing the play, and the storm, the quenching thirst, is the end of the show.
That is an excellent reading.
Wow, that's very interesting.
It's
I like
very,
it.
Very insightful.
Thank you. Pay me $50 now.
You said your horse was dark. Was it black or brown?
Black, sure. Is that the wrong answer?
No, it says keywords romantic passion.
Yeah. That's legit.
Either a dark-haired or dark-complected lover, or someone who has black moods, or someone with whom you share a powerful romantic sexual bond.
I'm going with that one.
Which, for some reason, it says, which always involves elements of night and mystery.
Oh, well. I'm going with that one. Bounce-ka-bounce.
Mystery. I did not throw at her any mystery.
That wasn't his. I just saw multiple horses and got excited.
Damn. I only got one horse there. I'm a one horse kind of guy.
I only got one horse in this desert.
Was it saddle and bridle fancy or plain?
It was probably plain.
Okay. So your horse.
Although if the horse would like something nicer, I have no trouble with that. I will get the horse.
Mel's not going to listen to this. Don't worry about it.
All right.
A horse wearing a bridle or saddle has been tamed and trained and being put to practical and pleasurable use.
Oh my God.
We really need to tell Mel to listen to this one.
No, that's not necessary. This is how getting cubed feels. I get it. Yeah.
Blap. Are you having that moment right before you fall into
like,
a bunch of pieces?
Oh, this isn't. I'm. Bye bye. Blap.
Peace.
A bridle suggests your lover has subordinated impulse and whim to the steady pursuit of shared goals. A saddle suggests comfortable sexual habit and lack of abandon. They represent, in general, the comfort and security of marital bonds and roles. See? It's normal.
All right, I'll accept that.
So, but your horse was pretty far away, I think. Yeah,
it was close to the ladder, right?
Close to the ladder, and your ladder was 20 feet away.
I'm just pulling numbers out of my ass here.
Oh, it's near the ladder. It says it means you consider your lover your friend.
Okay.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
You may also believe friendship is the goal love should ultimately aspire to.
Aww.
Aww.
Hungry, thirsty, we already went over that. Dead?
That's, no, yeah. Not dead. Yeah. Oh, dear God. What is that? What?
It says a horse of a widowed person or, I don't know, weird people.
In a lifeless romance.
All right, yeah. No dead horse for me.
Okay. So that's all the horse. The storm is trouble in your life. So trouble doesn't seem to be bothering you too much, and it's actually, you see it as a good thing. So it's really not a bad storm at all.
My
all
right. storm was in the cube.
Whoa.
That is one of the things.
That's deep, man.
I know, right? Right?
Yeah.
My storm is like in the cube, man.
I've cubed my storm, bro. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Okay, but you had a giant freaking cube.
Yeah, it was obsidian.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
My storm was the same as yours, too.
What a surprise.
It doesn't affect any of the things in your dream, whatever, vision thing. So it's not a major trouble. Everyone's strong enough to get through it in good shape.
Yeah.
Okay, and the flowers are interesting because God. Those are children.
Everybody, they're everywhere. Yeah. And I don't like them. They're annoying.
They just keep popping up throughout the landscape.
They do.
So you're sowing all those wild oats when you were young.
It doesn't have to mean children. It could mean work for some reason.
Little column A, little column B.
So, yeah, they were everywhere. I didn't really care for them. I didn't think much of them. They were
so
yellow.
Children, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the daffodils, it says, you are the sunshine of my life, is the quote.
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's dumb.
But they, let's see, they were all over, so.
They were just sort of there for me.
All over the cube? That's interesting.
No.
Eaten by the horse, that would be fun.
Practical.
That's disturbing.
Scattered randomly. Here you go. Children, they're probably other people's and of no great interest or immediate
there,
concern
that's,
to
oh
you.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. That's exactly it.
It's an ancient cube technique.
That's funny.
Work.
Work. If the flowers are abundant all over the place, you're prolific and so your efforts. Trusting them to make it into the world without your continued vigilance. If they're sparse, small, or indifferently scattered, it can be a sign of discouragement or dissatisfaction with your work.
Mm. I'll go with the thing with the kids.
Yeah, that works.
Go with the thing about not caring about kids.
So that was kind of the quick version of the cube. There's other things in here, but it was pretty interesting, I think.
All right. That was
pretty
cool.
Some of it was pretty on. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Spending your Saturday... Sunday night.
Yeah.
Cubing. It's Mike.
I'll go get Mike's for you to read after the podcast. Bye.
I've got a huge cube.
Bye, Erica.
Bye. Thanks for being on the podcast for the first time.
Sorry, I said whatever so many times.
I'll edit it out, so I'm going to edit out that apology, too.
All right. So do we have any more time or no?
No, we're way over.
We'll talk about that next time.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting conversation. To whet the appetite of the listener, we are referring to the sad and rabid puppies.
Yes, who have been influencing the Hugo Award for science fiction fantasy writing.
And the dark horse disruptive candidate that they proposed.
Inadvertently have...
handed the keys to the kingdom, yes. And who was running rampant over them, who starts every short story that he publishes on Amazon with...
Rammed in the butt by...
Slammed in the butt.
Or rammed in the butt.
By or, My Hugo Award was the latest one.
Yes.
I really like the titles of some of them.
Chuck Tingle, I think.
Chuck Tingle, yeah.
Chuck Tingle.
I like that no one really knows who he is either, which is kind of cool.
So do your homework for next time and look up Chuck Tingle.
Look up Chuck Tingle, look up Sad Puppies, Rabid Puppies. Go to sadpuppies.com, I think is the website.
I think it was The Rabid
Puppies. The Rabid Puppies.
I don't know. Chuck
Tingle.
Look
it up, it's really interesting.
It is.
If you know about Gamergate, this does kind of correlate to that. There's overlap and there's a correlation to people being assholes, usually men towards women, so there's definitely that again.
Yeah.
But, very interesting. I did read that entire article.
Oh, good.
And I read all the emails, but I just wanted to say this. The one thing was, I am always going to skew towards liberal, so I felt like I was kind of coming out on the same side as you, but I really didn't want to discourage Colin because the rationality he was applying to that, where he's like, I would want to hear both sides thoroughly before I made a decision. If everyone in this fucking country thought that way, our country would be so much better. So I'm staying out of this because I'm siding with Smike, but I really want Colin to think that way because I think it's the right way to think about everything. So that's where I'm leaving it.
Yes.
But there's a lot more to say about it.
I agree with that.
Would you like to do the honor?
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Buddies in Space is also a member of the Stolen Dress Entertainment Podcast Network. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books. And do we want to plug the reason why there's a sheet behind us?
And, of course, the third episode of Clint Westfall's Broda is going to be up by the time you listen to this, it is already up. And just to remind you, Jason Klom, our producer, is doing an incredibly ambitious 20-actor improvised long form, and it's starting to slowly come together. So some of the things I talk about in my silly beer and soda pairing vlog are starting to correlate to the larger story. It's all very carefully plotted out. It's really
so
very
it's
impressive.
It's like his very own Infinity Gauntlet.
Don't undersell what Jason's doing by comparing it to a...
Undersell?
Acid-tripped 70s Marvel comic crossover. I don't know, maybe Jason would be...
I'm going with contemporary Marvel.
Okay, but I think it's going to fail. So again, don't do that.
I was trying to be positive there.
Yeah, well, your storm's in the distance. Mine's in the cube. You are...
S. Michael Smith, and you are...
And Michael Carassi, and we are...
Buddies in Space.
So that wasn't too bad, right? It was a nice change to... didn't have to...
Yeah, you surprised me. You really got
right?
me.
Right?
You got me good.
You got fucking cube, bro.